Learning to ride a bike without training wheels is just like listening to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that never wears a tie. Here he comes, ready or not, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. It is episode number 244. We're sneaking up on 250. I know that Randy and I are the only ones that care about that, but still, I like to share the joy. Anyway, we are here to talk about Medicare, as you may have deduced from our opening announcement, aptly performed by Drew McMillan, my Canadian nephew. He is a CPA and a big-time Canadian entertainer. He has been my nephew for pretty much his whole life. And he is, to Randy's joy and delight, he is working on recording some more intros. So if you're hearing some reruns, hang on for a few more episodes and you'll probably hear some brand new introductions from Drew McMillan. So we're here to talk about Medicare. I wrote a book a few years ago, and then I wrote another one a few years ago, and then I wrote another one 2 years ago, and I wrote another one last year. And those books are called Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. And they're on sale at Amazon. They're on sale at barnesandnoble.com. They have three different formats, paperback, Kindle, and audio. You can listen to my dulcet tones, if you wish, talk about Medicare, which has to be like better than taking a sleeping pill, I'll tell you right now. But in any event, if you're one of the people that has to be concerned about Medicare, we're here to tell you that it's not going to be a horrible, scary process like so many people are concerned about. We are here to help you through the process and have you come out the other side smelling like a rose, completely at ease, and never having to really think seriously about Medicare, probably for the rest of your life. And I say probably only because the U.S. government can screw anything up if they try hard enough. But if they don't do anything drastic with Medicare, the rest of your life is going to be spent in Medicare bliss, and you'll be fully protected at a very, very reasonable cost. That's the hope anyway. Now, generally about this time, I ask Randy to play our 30-second radio spot because it's a very succinct explanation of what we're doing here. So if we just sit here quietly with our hands folded in our laps, I bet we can get Randy to play that spot.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thank you, Randy. That is, again, a succinct explanation as to why we're here, to simplify the whole process and make it easier for you to go through. And frankly, that's why I'm here. If you need help with your Medicare coverages, if you need help deciding what to do, contact me at our email address, dbj@mlmmailbag.com, and let me know that you need help, or go to our website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, and fill out one of the two questionnaires that you're going to find. Just scroll down on the landing page and you will find some big buttons that say get a quote or apply now. And you'll find different questionnaires. Those questionnaires will go directly to me, and I will then be contacting you to help you with your decision process. And the man who put all that together for us, and the man who engineers this podcast, he pushes the buttons, he slides the slides, he twists the dials, that would be Randy Carson. Hello, Randy.
I have to tell you, Doug, I'm a very disappointed individual this morning.
Uh-oh. Did I pronounce your name incorrectly?
No. But some people would consider this a high point of their life in that the temperatures are dropping a bit in Arizona. But On the other hand, I had to actually cook my eggs on the stove this morning instead of laying them out on the table out back.
Oh, boy. Well, I hate to hear that because we're not anywhere close to packing up and leaving Illinois for the duration of the winter. And so when you tell me this, it makes me think I'm going to be leaving one frigid environment heading for another frigid environment.
I'm actually looking for this thing to drop down into sweater weather here shortly. And as you know, the people in the audience are going to really laugh when I say sweater weather. But when it gets down to 68, I'm looking for my mucklucks and my stocking cap.
Well, what a lot of the audience members may not understand is the fact that there's a huge difference between daytime highs and nighttime lows in Arizona. And that difference comes crashing in about sundown, which is often about 6 o'clock, maybe 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So when you invite a bunch of friends over late afternoon cocktails, you know, and hang around on the patio and stuff, either you do sweaters like you were just talking about, or you run and hide inside where it's all of a sudden you got the furnace on. That's what people in Arizona do.
Yeah, that, or, you know, on rare occasion, because it's not as controllable as a furnace might be. But as you know, I've got a couple fireplaces in my downstairs, and I'll crank those puppies on until I've got sweat running down my forehead, and then I'm a happy man.
Oh, good. Yeah, we have several ways to generate heat outside on the patio. We've got a fire pit. We have infrared heaters. And we have those tall, skinny flame thrower things. I don't know what you call them. They're like California heaters, only instead of a big saucer, an upside down saucer, it's a shaft of plexiglass, and the flames shoot up through it. They're picturesque. Well,
I've seen them.
They don't throw off as much heat as the standard California heater, but Mary likes them, so I guess I have to like them too.
Well, as soon as you get back out here, you and I are going to go introduce me to the guy that did your misting system.
Okay. That sounds like a winner.
Because as I've told you before, I've tried several different misting systems, and they've all been, I was going to say aftermarket, but they're actually retail level kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they just don't work.
They plug up too easily. Is that what
they plug up and then they rot out and fall down and and about the second year the pump doesn't work and then I'm stuck again.
A cheap ass neighbor of mine has a he's got a great house and a crappy cheap mister system like that. My system is all stainless steel. It's got a massive pump, which may or may not be necessary, but all I have to do is. The pump is far away and it's hidden in a doghouse.
That's so cool. That is so cool.
So if I turn everything on, the switches and the valves at the beginning of the warm season, all I've got to do if somebody complains, hey, it's a little warm here, all I have to do is flip a switch and pretty soon there's cooling mist wafting over the patio and it's cooling everybody off.
Well, I'm looking for some wafting. So when you get back out here, one of the first things we're going to do is we're going to go find ourselves a Guinness.
Already, probably in your refrigerator in your garage, right?
Yeah. And then part two is you're going to go show me where your commercial Mr. Dude is.
And you're probably going to get a better deal at the end of the summer season than you would at the beginning of the season. So your timing is absolutely perfect.
I hope so. I really hope so, because I am so tired of replacing Mr. Systems.
Yeah, well, this should be your last time. I've never had to replace mine. It's probably been 6-7 years now. And it's a beautiful thing to behold. It's so nice to have that cooling, you know, to air condition the outside of your house is a rare thing. So,
yeah, exactly.
We'll get you fixed up.
Well, you know what we need to do now, Doug?
Yes, we do. And I was running so out of control today that you may have noticed that when I emailed you the podcast checklist episodes for the subject matter that we're going to talk about, it's got my little reminders here. It has the episode number. It reminds me to welcome the listeners, to define the lazy man, which hasn't been a problem lately, but often I would have to tell the listeners, what the lazy man is all about, who the lazy man was. In this case, it's any person, a male or female, who is concerned about having to learn about Medicare. So we are podcasting to and writing books for people who might be considered lazy because they don't want to learn about Medicare on their own. But that's our target market. I talk about Drew McMillan, and then I introduce Randy Carson. So those are my reminders. And today I wrote in the Medicare subject for this episode, I wrote "still working on it." Like, don't bother me with these details. Just had a busy day today. And it's this is frankly a nice relaxing time when I don't have to deal with all these other people. So what I do is look for things to entertain the audience with that might be educational about Medicare. Recently, I had some articles, and this one was left over from a prior podcast. The article that I'm looking at now is entitled "Medicare Part D and Creditable Drug Coverage." Now, that's kind of an important thing. A lot of people don't understand it, and I often don't understand it. So it's nice to have resources like this article that I'm going to read to you now. Medicare Part D, which is the section of the Medicare legislation or regulations that sets up the drug plans. Kind of easy to remember, Part D, drug plans. And creditable drug coverage refers to coverage that the government considers as being an effective or an acceptable substitute for you having to purchase your own Part D plan. In other words, you can either buy insurance to cover your drugs, or you can not buy it and risk the idea of a late enrollment penalty. If everybody buys a plan, that keeps the costs in line. And if people don't buy plans and decide they want plans later on, they will have to pay a late enrollment penalty. And they'll have to pay that as long as they have a Part D drug plan, which could be the rest of their lives. So I encourage my clients to buy the least expensive drug plan immediately when they're first eligible. And that would be the best way to stave off the late enrollment penalty. And having creditable drug coverage or losing creditable drug coverage is what triggers your eligibility. Whether you turn 65 and you're first eligible, or whether you've been working, maybe you've been working for years, you're 68, 69, 70 years old, and you leave your place of employment, you leave your employer medical insurance, you will have lost creditable drug coverage, and you will be eligible now for a Part D drug plan. So the article goes on to say, and this is fairly current. Some of the articles I read are kind of old. This one was written in the end of July in 2021. So it's just a couple of months old. Do you have health insurance from your current or former employer or union? If it includes prescription drug coverage, you should find out if this is considered creditable coverage, according to Medicare. That may affect your decision whether to sign up for Medicare Part D prescription drug coverage. Medicare Part D is the program that provides Medicare beneficiaries. Boy, I hate that. You're not recipients of welfare. You're Medicare participants. So Medicare Part D is the program that provides Medicare participants the opportunity to enroll in standalone Medicare Part D prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage prescription drug plans, which are offered by Medicare-approved private insurance companies to provide prescription drug coverage. It will also alert you if you are likely to be subject to a late enrollment penalty if you wait to enroll in a Medicare plan providing prescription drug coverage. So then the question is, what is creditable employer retiree drug coverage? Medicare defines creditable coverage as prescription drug coverage, such as from your employer or union, that is expected to pay at least as much as Medicare Part D. Creditable coverage should offer both brand and generic prescriptions and provide reasonable access to retail pharmacies. It should pay, on average, at least 60% of your total prescription drug expenses. That's such a complicated thing because different people take different drugs. That's just a ballpark. There's no way they can guarantee that or hold to that 60%. It's a target that they say they're aiming for. So it goes on to say, are you uncertain whether your current prescription drug coverage is creditable. Once a year, your plan must provide you a notice of creditable coverage, which will state whether or not the plan provides creditable coverage. Keep this notice because you may need it later if you enroll in a Medicare plan providing prescription drug coverage. If you did not receive this notice, now Randy's yawning in there, geez. Now it's bad enough when he painted his eyeballs on the glasses, making me think he's wide awake and paying attention to every syllable I utter. But then when he starts to yawn, it becomes readily apparent that Medicare probably bores him as much as it does the rest of us. In any event, I digress. So keep the notice of creditable coverage because you may need it later to prove that you were not a late enrollee in a prescription drug plan. If you did not receive this notice or you misplaced it, you can contact the plan administrator of your group health coverage and request a copy. Now, the article takes a left turn here. What other plans may be creditable coverage? In addition to employer and union group health plans, these organizations may provide creditable prescription drug coverage to qualified members. Veterans Affairs, the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program, the Indian Health Service, TRICARE, and qualified state pharmaceutical assistance programs. When you mentioned the Indian Health Service, I just had some clients enroll with me from Alaska. And the husband belongs to or is covered for drugs by the Indian Health Service, but the wife is not. And that was my first experience with Indian Health Service. So if you have prescription drug coverage from one of those programs, you may wish to defer enrolling in a Medicare plan that provides prescription drug coverage until you no longer have your current insurance coverage. And the next section is headlined, Avoiding a Medicare Part D Late Enrollment Penalty. By checking that you have creditable employer retiree drug coverage, you may be able to avoid a late enrollment penalty. If you have creditable coverage, or you sign up for a standalone Medicare Part D prescription drug plan, or a Medicare Advantage, which I don't recommend, prescription drug plan when you're first eligible, you won't be assessed a late enrollment penalty. However, if you go 63 consecutive days or more without creditable coverage or Part D coverage at any time after your initial enrollment period, you may incur a penalty. The late enrollment penalty, this is really stupid. The late enrollment penalty is calculated by multiplying 1% of the national base beneficiary premium. You got that? They take a number, which they call the national base beneficiary premium, and you multiply that by the number of months that you are eligible, but refuse to enroll in a Medicare drug plan. Medicare Part D plan, and you went without creditable prescription drug coverage. Now, this amount is rounded to the nearest 10 cents and added to your monthly Part D premium. In reality, here's what we've got, about 30 cents, because this national base beneficiary premium is in the neighborhood of $30. And so 1% of that is going to be 30 cents. Multiply that times the number of months that you are a scofflaw, or that you were failing to enroll, you refused to enroll, and then you've got your penalty. So let's suppose that you went for 1 year without enrolling. You were late by much more than 63 days. You were late by 12 months. So that would be 30 cents a month times 12. So you got, what, $4.30, something like that. Is that right? 30 cents a month? Yes, times the number of months that you were late. So I believe that's $4.30 or thereabouts. Randy's shrugging. He doesn't care. Accuracy? Screw it. But anyway, I recall from my book that if you're 1 year late, you're going to pay $4 and change every month the rest of your life once you enroll in a Part D drug plan. If you go 2 years without coverage, you're going to pay about $8 a month. And if you go 3 years without coverage, it's going to be $12 and change per month. That will be your lifetime late enrollment penalty. So I always advise my clients to enroll in the least costly drug plan, even if they take no drugs. And then they can change once a year. So let's say they start taking prescription medication and the need for a drug plan becomes more apparent. Well, they can change every year from the cheapest drug plan to one of the other 30 or so plans that are available in every area. And that will probably be a plan that will cover their needs more carefully, or more, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. So they can change plans once a year. And if they start taking prescription medication, they'll be taking, they'll be changing to a plan that will cover their prescription needs in a more friendly way. In other words, paying for the drugs, because the cheapest drug plan isn't always the one that is best for people who take a lot of prescription medication. So the penalty, the late enrollment penalty, may last as long as you have prescription drug coverage from a standalone Medicare Part D prescription drug plan or Medicare Advantage prescription drug plan. That means probably the rest of your life. Or if you wind up getting slapped into a nursing home by your children, then that would probably be when it would end, because you may then switch to a different kind of plan. But my advice is always get a plan when you're first eligible, so you don't have to pay a lifetime late enrollment penalty. So I think we have reached the end of the line time-wise, but I'm not 100% sure. I usually rely on Randy to tell me that, but we had some glitches today that made this less than a smooth operation. What do you think? Do we have enough
content? Well, yeah, we definitely have run out of gas, but I wanted to let you know what happened.
Okay.
There's a lot of phone lines between, you know, Illinois and Arizona.
Don't tell me. Starlings?
Starlings had landed on the wire and were gripping it too tight, so the bits could not get through.
Are there ever any time birds land on a wire and don't grip it? Because you would think that that would be a necessary element of wire landing. If I'm a bird, I'm going to grip that sucker like nobody's business.
I think that's true. But it takes, there is a break-even point of starlings.
Okay.
You know, the technology can handle, you know, X number amount, but when they just converge on the wire, you know, like in mass,
yep,
it'll stop it.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you something. We had a barn, a big barn with starlings living in it, or some kind of barn swallows, same kind of thing, I guess. And I used to go down to a smaller barn in the same area to work on my Corvette. This was years and years ago. And for some reason, one or, maybe it was a flock of starlings would flutter around while I was walking past their barn, and then they would decide to attack my head. And I really got tired of this. And I thought, my God, what in the heck is wrong with these birds that I can just, you know, it's my property and I am being attacked by the guests that I allow to live on and near the premises. And so finally I got sick of it. So I have a 12-gauge shotgun and I loaded that sucker up and went for my walk from the house to the garage with the Corvette in it. And here come the starlings. And I don't know if it was the same bird all the time or if they took turns, but I got my head, my hair brushed back, my hair parted and my head attacked a couple of times. So I just took that shotgun, pointed it in the vague direction of the group of starlings and blasted away. And one bird fell out of the sky and no starlings ever bothered me again the rest of the years that I lived there. It was like they learned.
That must have been the lead starling.
Well, that's what I thought at first. And then I thought, no, I'm not that good a shot because I had my own skeet range and I knew damn well that I was not going to be that lucky. So I think the rest of the starlings learned not to mess with me, or else that another one of their buddies was going to fall out of the sky.
Well, there was that. And then the other thing that occurred to me while you were telling that story, Doug, was that I just envisioned, you know, to ward off the starlings. I envisioned you going from your house to the barn where you wanted to work on your vet with a tin foil hat on.
Well, I wear that normally. I never wear it outside because my tin foil rusts if it gets wet in the rain. So I always take that off. I always take it off when I leave the house.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea because I think the neighbors would wonder.
Well, they're beyond wondering. Actually, I've always lived in a place that's so far away, I don't have any neighbors that can see what I'm doing unless they're really working at it. You know, they've got to be sneaking up to the fence line or whatever.
So, you mean like Medicare Advantage people?
Yeah, very much like that. Although I will say in Arizona, because they build houses too close together, I do have neighbors that can keep an eye on me. But in Illinois, I'm always on big acreage with mature forest and don't have to worry about neighbors peering at me.
Well, that's good to know. You know, I just love those kind of stories. I love it. But I do have to thank the audience because we are out of time. We appreciate you every time you come and join us because without you, it's a lot less fun. But in the meantime, you have to promise to go get your books from Amazon.com or buy one from Barnes & Noble if you like the color version, or get the audio version to listen to as you are driving to work or trying to go to sleep, and or the Kindle. We've got it all.
It's like too many choices. We're confusing people with a plethora of choices. Is that a problem, or maybe we're doing the right thing? I don't know.
I would say from my standpoint, just go to Amazon and buy at least a Christmas load or a Hanukkah load full of books.
Yeah, everybody's got a relative or friend that probably needs some Medicare advice. So I stand ready to assist them in their transition from Obamacare to Medicare.
And audience, I found out something the other day that I wanted to emphasize. Doug sells insurance.
Ah, there you go. A revelation.
Yes. Yes, people get confused by that and think he's just a wonderful author, but no, he's an experienced insurance guy, but people don't understand that always.
I'm looking forward to helping anybody who decides they want my help, and I'll make it painless.
Absolutely. He's actually the best Medicare supplemental expert in the world.
So anyway, I'm blushing now, so we should probably let them go.
Well, we have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, and the CEO, CIO, and every other O for Medicare for the Lazy Man.com.
Bye-bye.